The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Breaking news, the Texas Senate has passed a bill which will increase the congressional delegation to 5 more Republican seats. Democrats in Texas had a hissy fit in the Senate. And now we just have to wait till the Democrats or the House gets back in session so that they can actually vote on it in the House. But of course, those Democrats all ran away like freaking children. And so we don't know when they're going to be back. But we have video of what is this now, Justin? These are Democrats having a tantrum in the Senate in Texas. Is that right?
Yeah, these are 9 Texas Democratic senators walking out during the vote to approve and pass forward the new redistricting map.
Well, let's hear and see the Texas Democrats walking out like little freaking children.
I know that there's been a lot of discussion. Congrats to the governor's board today. Everyone has different effects on it. I would like to get permission of
That's so funny. Aw, poor babies. I know, poor babies. Speaking of that, Gavin Newsom, I don't know if you know this or not. One point he called up the National Guard, too. Did you know that? Yeah, he did. We'll get to that in just a second. Governor Greg Abbott, though, because I'm going to go back and forth on this issue of Texas and California. If California tries to gerrymander 5 more districts, and my friend Brianna Lyman, who is the elections correspondent for The Federalist, Brianna made a great point today on Fox Business. She said, Texas is doing it legally. California is not. That's the difference. California passed a statute. They passed a proposition. And Texas is actually following the law. California is not. But here's Governor Greg Abbott, cut number 6.
Well, let me ask you just this final question, sir, as a bigger picture item, which is what's unusual about this is that you're attempting to do it in 2025 as opposed to waiting till the end of the decade as normally is when the redistricting takes place. You've explained the Supreme Court decision that led you to do this. But what's going on, obviously, is not happening in Texas, is not happening in a vacuum. We have Democrats in California and New York and other states saying, well, if Governor Abbott does this in Texas, we're going to add 5 Democratic seats. Are you not worried at all about a redistricting, gerrymandering arms race going on? And theoretically, is it not just better for voters to be picking their politicians instead of politicians to be picking their voters through gerrymandering?
Well, to be clear, listen, all those big blue states, they've already gerrymandered. Look at the map of Illinois. Look at the map of California, New York, and Massachusetts, and so many other blue states. They gerrymandered a long time ago. They got nothing left with regard to what they can do. And know this, if California tries to gerrymander 5 more districts, listen, Texas has the ability to eliminate 10 Democrats in our state. We can play that game more than they can because they have fewer Republican districts in their states.
Let's play the game, baby. Let it roll. Let it roll. Let's do this. Governor Gavin Newsom at one point did call up the National Guard in his state of California. Did you know that? Did you know that? Probably not. It was one of those kind of clips that resurfaced. There's a bunch of things that are resurfacing today. How about this? Cut 18, January 14th, 2021, a week before Biden's inauguration. Gavin Newsom's hair. Announcing that it is deploying 1,000 National Guard. Well, because you see, Gavin Newsom is now completely and utterly opposed to all the policies of Gavin Newsom. So to make it easier for you to understand, anything that Gavin Newsom did before was done by his hair, his beautiful, coiffed, slick, manicured, oily hair that has more petroleum in it than most jet engines. And by the way, a much higher carbon footprint. This Gavin Newsom, this hair is gray, expressing wisdom. That Gavin Newsom completely the hair controlled him, you see. It's why he now opposes all of the policies of Gavin Newsom's hair. So back then, Gavin Newsom's hair came out and did the following. Take a listen.
Let me be clear. There will be no tolerance for violence. That's why today, along with the CHP and Office of Emergency Services, I've activated the California National Guard to support the CHP to enhance security with an initial deployment of up to 1,000 Guard members to protect critical state infrastructure in and around the state capitol. Also today, we're standing up temporary security perimeter around the capitol. We'll, of course, share additional information and additional measures that we're taking in the coming days. But let me be clear. What we witnessed in our nation's capital was an undemocratic and unconscionable assault on our republic and the freedoms upon which our nation was founded. California will take every necessary measure to protect public safety and our democratic principles and to ensure that those disgraceful actions are not repeated here.
Wow. Tough words from Gavin Newsom's hair back then in 2021. Tough words indeed. And I don't know where all this goes with the redistricting battle between Texas and California and New York. All I know is that these Democrats need to get back to Texas at some point. But, you know, a lot of people have been very outspoken about Jasmine Crockett and how awful she is to work for. One of the worst people to work for. Let's cue up cut 25. She responded to reported claims from her own staff that she is a boss from hell. And now saying that people are hating on her because, you know, racism and sexism. Cut 25.
Are you a no-show boss from hell who terrorizes staffers?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I know that I have arrived, honey. That is the way that I see this. Because as Beyonce says, if they're not talking about you, then obviously you must not be doing anything. You know what? This is just more slander, more nonsense, more lies. And honestly, I don't think that the New York Post would probably be the first ones to be able to figure out if I was a boss from hell. You and I were joking before we got on camera about all of the scrutiny that comes with being not only woman, but being young and being a Black woman, there's a lot of scrutiny that comes my way, and it comes my way from all different angles. But when people start talking about you, that's when you know that you are obviously getting under their skin. So I am not going to give up. There's a song that I like to quote every once in a while. It says, "Your hate is my motivation. So keep hating. All it does is motivate me to continue to do what I do, which is to be loud and proud on behalf of the American people."
Matt DeSantis, are you motivated by my hatred for you out of curiosity?
I don't know. It doesn't motivate me. It just beats me down. By the way, that New York Post article is phenomenal, but my favorite part was when they describe how staffers have to rent Cadillac Escalades to pick her up in because she refuses to drive in their cars.
She's a boss lady, man. You can't show up in a regular old car.
Do you want me to pick you up in an Escalade for Friday's broadcast?
Damn right. Better be an Escalade. You know, when Fox sends a car like they did this morning, if it's not an Escalade, I tell the guy to go back to New York and come back with a different car. That's what I do.
That's awesome.
And he's like, well, it's going to take me 3 hours and then 2 hours to get back here. You're going to miss your hit. I'm like, I don't care. I will only go in a Cadillac Escalade.
There are a lot of similarities between you and Jasmine Crockett, actually, because the other complaint was that she works from home.
Well, see? Says the guy who's where now?
Well, I'm working from home also.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Scottsdale, but yeah.
Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah. This is my one day in the office. This is my one day here. I hated every second of getting here, being here, right, Justin? It's torture.
I hate the one-hour drive every single day.
Awful. If it were up to me, Justin could be remote, but apparently to do whatever the hell it is that he does, he has to push buttons.
And somebody's got to be here to be the button monkey, and sadly, that's me.
You're a button pusher like the mafia. You push buttons. That's when they kill people, but in your case, you kill it on the radio. See?
Thank you.
Boom. That's what we do. Listen, I'm a Black boss lady, too. Inside. on the inside. That's how I identify. All right? That's how I identify on the inside. Don't challenge me on that. Don't you dare. Because I will call you a racist and a sexist if you come after me. What else did it say in that article about her?
Well, I was going to say, normally, like, whenever these sort of gossipy pieces are released, I mean, they're fun to read, but I just dismiss the information that's included. But remember she cut in front of a handicapped person to get on a commercial flight?
Yes.
Yeah, so I kind of think that maybe there's some truth to her being a bit of a pain in the butt.
She's very important. Just ask her and she'll tell you, Matt. She'll tell you. Let me ask you a question. If I'm a racist person, do I want to bring the crime down in a predominantly black city? Yes or no?
I would think not.
You would think not, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I would think, too. But MSNBC sees it the other way, that you're racist for wanting to bring down the crime rate in a predominantly black city like Washington, D.C. Okay? This is MSNBC host Eugene Daniels speaking with Mayor Mariel Bowser, who does at least concede that she needs some help. Good for her. Cut 12.
One of the things that we have seen over and over from the president, from his team, you know, Stephen Miller saying it's like Baghdad and Ethiopia, they seem to hold their harshest criticism sometimes for cities that are majority black and brown. Do you see that, and what do you think that means?
I think that I have been dealing kind of with this issue for a number of years. It's kind of easy fodder on the campaign trail. But now we're talking about governing, and my job is to focus on making sure our city is running well, and people enjoy a great quality of life. And I think we're doing a really good job. We do need the federal government's help, as I mentioned, because they have an outsized influence on our criminal justice system.
So, you know, you're racist. First thing you want to do is bring down the crime in black neighborhoods. I think the Klan was started for that very purpose. I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, when you look at the history of the KKK, Matt, was it to bring down crime in predominantly black neighborhoods?
I suspect that is not what their founding mission was.
I have not seen Mississippi Burning in a long time. But if I remember the movie, the Klan was out there to bring down crime in predominantly black neighborhoods in the South.
I don't think that's right.
Gene Hackman, William Defoe, Willem Defoe? How do you say it? Willem, right?
Yeah, Willem. Yeah.
Willem. Man, he's a good actor, isn't he? Gene Hackman's dead, but he was great. But Willem is still around. He's fantastic. He's good in everything. He's one of those guys who's just good in every movie. He's never done a bad movie. Has he?
I'm sure I could think of something. He does have a weird Michelob Ultra commercial. Have you seen that with Catherine O'Hara?
I have not.
The mom from
during the Super Bowl. I remember that. Yeah. I thought it was cool. I liked it.
What was the commercial about?
I don't remember.
They were running pickleball,
tennis and stuff. Yeah,
it was pickleball. Like they were kind of like pool sharking pickleball and playing people for Michelob Ultras.
Okay. Well, a guy made a cool, $5 million for that, probably? You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure he made a fortune. I remember one year Brad Pitt appeared in a Super Bowl commercial, and it only aired one time. It was like 15 seconds, and he made something like $10 million for it.
Wow. I mean, in the old days, they'd say you'd sell out, but that's not selling out. That's just smart business right there.
If any beer companies want to feature me in a commercial, I won't charge you nearly as much as Defoe or Pitt.
Exactly. We'll give you a deal. Great discount. Yeah. Cover Justin's parking for a week. You're done.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable. So let's see more of this now. Maxine Waters trying to lead America into a civil war. Got that going for us, which is nice. Cut 13, where Congresswoman Maxine Waters having a meltdown over everything Trump is doing, and that this is also now leading us to a civil war. Incidentally, Jordan Kepler, whatever his name is, from The Daily Show, also did a segment on America is warning about a second civil war, Jordan Kepler. So he conducted a red versus blue state draft after speaking with Adam Kinzinger. We'll get to that as well. But here's Maxine Waters melting down. Cut 13.
Words mean nothing. Actions mean everything. Watch this. Watch it very closely. Ask a lot of questions. Focus those cameras on everything that's going on, because this president is trying to lead us into what could be called a civil war.
What could be called a civil war. This will shock you, but Road Warrior did not like Willem Dafoe's portrayal of Tom Clancy's character, Mr. Clark. Didn't fit the character. I know we're all shocked. Road Warrior is taking the side of the contrarian. I know. I'm just as shocked as you are. But he doesn't like his portrayal in the Tom Clancy movies as Mr. Clark. Okay? So there you go.
Can I just note something about that Maxine Waters clip? It was my favorite part of the entire thing. She's complaining about Trump's increased police presence in D.C., saying that, you know, violent crime basically isn't out of control, as there are a bunch of police sirens just blaring in the background.
Yeah, that's a great observation. Yeah, it's a great observation, actually. Let's go back and play that, because I got distracted by Road Warrior's dumb comment about Willem Dafoe. It's like he's got to find something to be the contrarian. But the restraining order does take effect on Friday at 3 p.m., correct? You check with the judge?
What?
Maxine, the restraining order to keep him away from Cape May, it takes effect Friday at 3?
I think he's supposed to be there, isn't he?
Oh, God. Here's Maxine Waters again, cut 13. Take a listen.
Words mean nothing. Actions mean everything. Watch this. Watch it very closely. Ask a lot of questions. Focus those cameras on everything that's going on, because this president is trying to lead us into what could be called a civil war.
Yeah. Crime is down as sirens blare in the background and you can't hear a friggin' word she says because the police are responding to multiple shootings, robberies, and carjackings. All right, we got a lot more to get to here. I just got a nice note from Dr. E.J. Antoni, who, as you know, was just nominated by President Donald Trump to lead the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And he said the following to me. He said, "Thank you, Rich. It's kind of you to reach out. Please pray for me and ask the Zioli Army to do the same if you're so inclined." Done. So give our buddy EJ, Dr. EJ Antoni, your prayers that he will be, I assume this is a Senate confirmed post, Matt, is that right?
Yeah, I do believe you need Senate confirmation.
All right, well, that should not be an issue for him, but nevertheless, you never know with these things, so prayers will be sent from the Zioli Army to our buddy Dr. EJ Antoni. And finally, before I take a break, I want to mention this to you as well here, meltdowns. Joe Scarborough reading a text from a very liberal friend who lives in D.C., who actually has to remind, and, you know, MSNBC probably not happy about this, that, yeah, crime does remain rampant in D.C. I know we're all shocked. Cut 14.
And I want to read you a text from someone who I won't say their name, but they're, we'll just say that they're very liberal. And he says, "This may sound controversial, but I'm not totally opposed to Trump's National Guard move in D.C. I know he's doing it for politics, but crime remains rampant. I've had too many friends carjacked, shot at. None of us will walk more than three blocks after 8 p.m. 13-year-olds are committing many of these crimes. Quite a change from a decade ago when things were much calmer." Well, that actually sounds like the D.C. that I lived in when I lived a block behind the Supreme Court. And, you know, every 3 days, one of my neighbors was getting held up at gunpoint. I mean, there has been a crime problem in D.C.
He's another one who fled D.C. and went to Florida and works remote, even though he's in a different place than his wife. It's weird. The whole situation is very bizarre. Here's the other clip of Judge Jeanine talking about the crime statistics and what the hell difference does it make To quote Hillary Clinton, what difference at this point does it make that crime is down if people are still being victims of crime? Take a listen.
Gun violence prevention programs.
Stop it. We are putting all kinds of resources onto the street.
That's all we've got. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
You should press release hailing the drop in crime rates at the end of it. What changed?
It's never enough. This changed. This changed. It's never enough. You tell these families crime has dropped. You tell the mother of the intern who was shot going out for McDonald's near the Washington Convention Center, oh, crime is down. You tell the kid who was just beat the hell and back with a severe concussion and a broken nose, crime is down. No, that falls on deaf ears. And my ears are deaf to that. And that's why I fight the fight. Thank you.
I love her. She's the best person for this job. I'm telling you, because she's a hoot to listen to. She really is. And when she's done, she's done. She goes, that's it. We're done. It's over. We're done. She just walks out. It's great. All right. Coming up, he's fighting for justice for the families of 9/11. And the question of will we get answers to Saudi Arabia's role in the terrorist attacks on that fateful day? We'll talk to our friend Brett Eagleson coming up next here on the show as we continue along. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Have you reached out to him yet for your free implant consultation? It's not about cost. It's about commitment to dental excellence. So schedule your appointment with Dr. Mike today, 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
As we are cooking with gasoline today. Thanks for being here. Friday live in Cape May. Our last live show of the summer with some really great guests and a lot of fun. So make sure you join us Friday in Cape May. Brett Eagleson has been trying to find the truth and the answers to the terrorist attacks of 9/11 for years. He's president of 9/11 Justice. He lost his father in the terrorist attacks. And he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Brett, it's great to have you back on the show, my friend. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. It's always great to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal recently talking about how we have a chance here now to get some answers. Ever since you lost your father in the terrorist attacks of 9/11, you've been on a mission here to get the truth about Saudi Arabia's role in the planning and coordination of those attacks. And you've been promised answers time and again. You have not gotten those answers, but you feel like now you might have a chance here because of Secretary Howard Lutnick. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And everything that we've found out about 9/11, our own government has kept under lock and key, and we've had to do it with no help. We've had to do it by ourselves. We had to do it by pressuring people. We've done it through legislative action. And believe it or not, most of the information that we now know about 9/11 has not come from the U.S. government. It's come from the British government. So of all the places in the world, you know, you would think that we live here in America and that our country and our government should have us, you know, as its first priority. But it's been its priority to cover up the Saudi Arabian government's involvement in 9/11. Our own government has shut us down. It's blocked us at every corner. If it weren't for the brave men and women at the MPS, at the Metropolitan Police Service in the UK government, we wouldn't know, for example, that a Saudi intelligence agent was filming the US Capitol and casing the Capitol and providing pre-operational support and logistical support to the hijackers. You wouldn't know it. I wouldn't know it. In fact, the 9/11 Commission didn't know it because the 9/11 Commission wasn't given the evidence. So, you know, where does Mr. Lutnick fall in all of this? He is part of a new administration. He's part of a new Trump 2.0. He is one of us. Mr. Lutnick lost his brother in 9/11. We consider him one of our own. He's part of our community. He grieves the same way that many of us do. And he's in a position of power. He is in the Trump administration. He has been to Saudi Arabia on a few occasions. He is in at the highest levels of meetings of our government. If there's anybody that can have any effect on President Trump or anybody that can have any effect on closure and justice for the 9/11 for the 9/11 community. Well, wouldn't it be one of our own? And, you know, we consider him one of our own. He talks about 9/11 frequently. In his Senate confirmation hearing, he invoked 9/11. He made a post on X on July 4th referencing again 9/11. So we just want to get through to him, and we want to let him know that he has a historic opportunity here to do what nobody has done before, and that's bring closure and accountability to his own community.
Brett Eagleson, are the 9/11, the 9/11 Commission, I know there were some pages related to Saudi Arabia that were classified. Have those been fully released by now?
Some of them, but not all of them. And then there's pages that nobody even knew existed. There was documents that our own FBI buried, and it weren't for the British intelligence and the folks over at Scotland Yard for cooperating with us and helping us out in our investigation. We wouldn't have known about it. In fact, the deputy director of the CIA under Bush, Mike Morrell, live on CBS Face the Nation, claimed he had never known about these operational videos that were taken by Saudi intelligence agents. He said, had I known about this, I would have briefed President Bush. I was his personal briefer. So there's just this really, really disturbing theme around everything 9/11 Saudi Arabia related. You have the deputy director of the CIA claiming that he never even saw the evidence that we ourselves have had to produce. So it just makes your head scratch, and we want answers. I mean, we want accountability. There's no reason. There's no legitimate reason. 24 years later, we still don't have all the answers on who helped out those 9/11 hijackers.
I'll play devil's advocate. I'll say that the reason is because they are a strong ally in the Middle East, and we're trying to work out a peace deal between them and Israel, and we can't jeopardize that.
Sure, but does that mean that we could whitewash the deaths of 3,000 Americans? Our priority is priority number one, and that's the safety and protection of the American people. So if we want to say that 3,000 people can be murdered and that can be justified in the name of a peace deal, I think we're all living in the wrong country.
Then I'll play devil's advocate again. Obviously, the Saudi royal family, very close to the United States government, and we rely on them also to keep oil prices stable, and so we can't let the truth come out.
So if America can't let the truth come out, and we're going to, again, allow and whitewash the death of 3,000 Americans and say that, hey, our price of oil is more important than 3,000 Americans, again, I would push back on you and say, what kind of country are we living in where we prioritize weapon sales, lobbying interests, golf deals, and other things over the lives and safety of American citizens? Look, if you're a believer in the United States government, if you're a believer in Make America Great Again and American First priorities, why are we putting the interests of the Saudi government and their weapons deals and a Middle East peace process, why are we putting that in front of justice for nearly 3,000 American families? And by the way, both of those things aren't mutually exclusive. We can have a cozy relationship with the Saudi government. We can move on in the interest of you know, a better ties between both of our countries. But that doesn't mean that we can sweep under the rug, or that doesn't mean that we could not hold them accountable, or they don't have to be liable for the sins of their past. The current regime in Saudi Arabia, by the way, had absolutely nothing to do with the regime that helped out the 9/11 hijackers.
Brett Eagleson is with me right now. He is president of 9/11 Justice, and he lost his father in the terrorist attacks. Now, obviously, I agree with you. You know, I'm trying to what the concerns, you know,
because there's no other side. I mean, what bothers me is there's no other side to this. There's no other side to this. You can give me every hypothetical, but at the end of the day, if you value life and safety and American values, you're going to come out on our side on this.
Yeah. And look, you know, to your point about this is a different regime. We are great friends with Vietnam. We are really close with Japan. We're close with Germany. Yep. We make up, we forgive, we move on, and we do business together. But I understand the point, which is that it's really important that we get the truth out and that we know and
that's
we
right.
get the answers. And I think that's reasonable. You know, it's not that we have
that's
to
That's reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not that you're asking for us to then turn around and invade Saudi Arabia. Or
We're not
you know,
saying let's go to war with Saudi Arabia. We're not saying cut off ties with Saudi Arabia. We're saying let Saudi Arabia become a Japan, become a Vietnam, become a Germany. But none of that can happen until we close the chapter and bring our families the truth and accountability. And then let's move on in a positive direction.
Yeah. Look, it's entirely reasonable. Have you reached out to Lutnick? Have you sent him something?
Yeah, we sent, not me personally, but a number of the Cantor Fitzgerald family members have written to him. That is what the Wall Street Journal reported on, was actually the letter that was sent to Howard Lutnick, and just urging him to do the right thing. You know, it was a very nice letter. I actually read it. You know, it's not critical of him. It's saying that, reminding him that he's a plaintiff. He's
yeah.
suing. Howard Lutnick is suing Saudi Arabia just like I am, and he is one of us. So I think, like, you know, Howard obviously believes, you know, Mr. Lutnick believes that Saudi Arabia is guilty. Otherwise, he would have dropped the lawsuit 5 years ago.
Explain that to us, Brett, so everybody knows exactly what the lawsuit is.
So the Secretary of Commerce, Mr. Howard Lutnick, is a co-plaintiff along with myself and nearly 10,000 others. We are suing the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for the murder of my dad, for Mr. Howard Lutnick's brother, and for nearly 3,000 dead Americans. We're suing Saudi Arabia for helping the terrorists be successful in the 9/11 plot.
Where does that lawsuit stand right now?
It is in the Southern District Federal Court in Manhattan. The judges, we've been waiting on the judge for over a year. Both sides have been fully briefed. The plaintiffs have, we've pled our case, and the defense has pled their case. I should remind the audience that Saudi Arabia has asked to be dismissed out of this case one time before, and they lost that motion to dismiss. So we've moved forward into limited discovery. Now the kingdom is asking again to be dismissed, and we are waiting for a judge to make a ruling on that, and it's been over a year. On July 31st, 2024 was the last time that we had a court hearing on this issue, and it's been over a year. So it's taking a very, very long time, and it's going to be a significant ruling either one way or the other. It's very pivotal. Either the judge rules in our favor and this lawsuit moves on to a full-fledged discovery and pretrial, or we get dismissed and it's kind of back to the drawing board. But right now we're at a crucial point in our lawsuit against the kingdom, and Howard Lutnick is right there with us. He's on our side. He is suing the kingdom with me and thousands of other families.
You know, it's interesting. As I hear you say this, all that comes to my mind is you're only asking to have this case dismissed because you have something to hide. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? Like, if
that's
they're
a great point,
right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia
really
had nothing
point.
To do with it. They would just say, sure, sue us. Here's discovery. Here's everything we got. We had nothing to do with it. And then that would be it. That'd be over. And then, you know, you guys would be called crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy nuts and everybody
exactly.
would move on. But that's not what they're doing. They're trying to fight this. So clearly they have something they don't want to come out in discovery. And suing another country, suing a foreign nation, is obviously in many ways unprecedented here, what you're trying to do in and of itself.
It is. And actually, we've had to pass a law to do it, because there's something known as the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, meaning you couldn't sue. You know, let's say you went on a family vacation and you took your family to Italy and, you know, you slipped and fell over there. You couldn't sue Italy for being liable for having slippery
yeah.
streets. It just would never happen. The only countries that you could sue are the countries that are on the state sponsor of terror list. Saudi Arabia is not on one of those. So what we had to do is we had to create a new law called the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, which provided a very narrow carve out, allowing us to sue a country if there's credible evidence that that country hurt or killed Americans on American soil. So under the JASTA law, which is what we passed over an Obama veto, his only veto, by the way, in 8 years, his only veto that we overrode, we are now able to sue the kingdom under that law that we ourselves had to go and create.
Amazing he vetoed it, right, Brett? I mean, obviously, he knew a reason to veto that law. He knew something, I think.
he knew something. We don't know why exactly he vetoed it, but thankfully, thank God, we had overwhelming support in Congress, and we overrode his veto, 97 senators to one. So even the majority of the Democrats in his party voted to override him. And I should say, in all 8 years of his presidency, he never suffered a veto override, except in this instance where we were trying to pass a law to allow us to get some semblance of justice for the loss of our loved ones.
By the way, if you slip and fall in Italy, don't try to sue them. Just, you know, a guy will give you a bag of cash and it'll all go away. You know, so that's... Brett, listen, buddy, I wish you the best of luck. I always love having you on the show. I admire your courage, your tenacity. I think you are on the right side here. I want the truth to come out. We all do. I want to ask you one more question before I let you go, and that's Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's now the director of national intelligence. And for years, she's also been somebody who has asked very similar questions that you're asking today. Has anyone in the organization, anyone in the 9/11 justice reached out to Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah, look, Tulsi's been a good friend. I've known Tulsi for probably 5-6 years now. She's always been on our side. She's been on the right side of this. I want to believe that, look, Tulsi has done everything that she could do when she was a congresswoman from Hawaii. She wrote legislation and sponsored legislation for us. She wrote letters for us. She came to intended rallies for us to get this information out. Tulsi's a big believer in declassification, so I have nothing but good things to say about Tulsi. When she became in the position that she is now currently in, it's understandably that she's probably drinking from a fire hose right now. And It's only been a few months in this administration. So I'm holding out. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I know she's got more pressing matters that are more timely on her plate. There's a whole host of those matters. But I don't think Tulsi's forgotten about us. And I remain hopeful that eventually, you know, she will eventually come around when she has a minute. And I'm hopeful that, we'll be hearing from her soon or someone from her team.
Brett Eagleson, where can we find you? 911justice.org, I know, is the website. Any other socials you want to give out or anything?
No, that's probably it. I'm not even doing a good enough job keeping the website up, but I'll keep coming on the show, and I go on Fox and, you know, some of the other mainstream channels now and then. So 911justice.org, there's a way to reach me via email through there, or make a donation if you want to help our campaign. It's a 501c3 fully nonprofit, and we raise funds to create ads and create public awareness about what we're doing.
Very important work, my friend. Keep up the good work, and thanks for coming on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, listen, if you're bummed that summer's flying by, I don't blame you. I mean, here we are, August 12th. But here's the good news. We're back in Cape May this Friday. That's right. This coming Friday, August 15th, 3 to 7 p.m. at my happy place and your happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. But if you want a way to extend the summer, very easy. Book a wonderful getaway this coming September at the Grand Hotel. The Grand has several special packages to make your getaway even grander. You can book a Grand Escape weekend this fall and earn resort credits. Or make it a September to remember and book a September stay. Still earn resort credits and save 10% off room rates. Just check out their website for all the details. And you'll want to be there in the fall. The crowds are gone. The weather's beautiful. And the Grand Hotel is just the absolute best. The people there are wonderful. If you're looking to have an event, this is the place to do it. Beautiful storybook beachfront weddings, corporate events, baby showers, bridal showers, family reunions, so much more. Just call my friend Caitlin. She was named the 2025 Face of Weddings, South Jersey Face of Weddings, a certified wedding planner. She will help make your dream come true. And a getaway weekend. I mean, whether it's a romantic weekend or you want to bring the family, they have the heated outdoor pool, the heated indoor pool. They have the arcade room for the kids. Hemingway's restaurant. Freshest seafood. Great steaks. Handcrafted cocktails. And as I mentioned, the weather in September is fantastic. So first of all, come out this Friday and see us live Friday the 15th. And then I want to see you back there when you make your stay in September for a September to remember at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Great to have you with us today. Appreciate you being here. Tejas, Texas. They expanded the congressional map by 5 seats in the Senate. The House, no quorum still. There you go. Something I wanted to mention to you. So Greg Gutfeld was on Jimmy Fallon's show last week. I don't know if you caught it or not. And he talked about this on his show last night. And he talked about how, and apparently Jimmy Fallon got a huge ratings bump from people watching Greg Gutfeld's appearance on this. I was thinking that Jimmy Fallon maybe, I don't know, I mean, he was back to the Trump jokes about Trump being on Epstein Island, so maybe now he's trying to make up for having Gutfeld on. I don't know if he'll have other conservative comedians on. I don't know if Jimmy Fallon will be on. I know that Jimmy told me one time that after he was named the host of Fox News Saturday Night, Jimmy Fallon sent him a thing of ice cream. Apparently, Ben and Jerry's made a flavor after him. And Jimmy Fallon sent our buddy Jimmy Fela a case of that ice cream with a note that said, starts out with a 1 day a week show and eventually 5 nights. And that was very nice. And thought that was very nice of the guy. Seems like a very nice guy. I've never met him personally, but Greg Gutfeld talked about his appearance on his show. This is Cut 34. Take a listen.
Last week, I was a guest on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And like Rosie O'Donnell on a trampoline, it was a ton of fun. But the media reacted just as you'd expect with fake articles about backlash. BuzzFeed gathered random posts from X to prove Fallon was taking flack for having me on. But that's journalism these days. Fake posts or news when you can find an opinion on anything you want there. BuzzFeed used to have influence. Now it's simply three old guys waiting for their house cats to eat them. One post says that Jimmy was normalizing the right's worst. Like I was Hitler, or worse, Liz Cheney. The Daily Beast called my appearance a softball chat, and that Jimmy fawned all over me. And here I thought the Daily Beast was what Joy Behar ordered every morning from the pig farm. New York Mag's Vulture accused Jimmy of kissing the conservative ring. Hell, I wasn't even wearing a ring. At least, not on my finger. But this is all because Jimmy talked to me, which is what decent people do. Hell, I have everyone on my show, Republicans, Democrats, comedians, and even guys who call themselves comedians.
Wow.
But late night shows fawn over hundreds of liberal guests. Yet having one right-leaning guest on sends them into a frenzy. But are people really turning on Fallon for having me on the show? Yes. In fact, people did turn on Fallon. The Tonight Show's ratings jumped by double-digit percentage when I was on.
There you go. The ratings jumped because Greg Gutfeld was on. So, you know, there's something to be said about having conservatives on the late night shows. You know, there's a whole other audience out there that is interested in not getting lectured to nightly by Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. And the smart people in entertainment figure this out. There's a lot of us out there. And if you make shows and movies and content that doesn't offend us, you don't even have to cater to us. Just doesn't have to be going after us. Might respond. How about that? What a novel idea. One of those shows is Tulsa King, Sylvester Stallone, who's one of us. And his season 2 is coming out. I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited to see it. It's going to be great. All right. We got more to cut to. We'll get to the left's reaction on President Trump calling in the federales to go to D.C. Plus, the question on everybody's mind today is, will there be a peace deal with Russia? What will we learn from the president's trip to Alaska? 5 o'clock hour, straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.